I want you to take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 2. I promise you I will not be lengthy tonight. We've already had a long night, but we indeed want the Word of God to be exalted, and we'll have some preaching here. Luke chapter 2, when you find Luke chapter 2, find verse number 1. Luke chapter 2, find verse number 1. And once you've found it, stand with me, if you would please. I'm going to read the first 13 verses, and that because it is the Christmas story. And we've heard some wonderful, wonderful Christmas music today and tonight. And we'll top it off with just a little bit about the subject of Christmas. Luke chapter 2, verse number 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenus was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. Take this simple sermon and use it to get glory to thyself. Bless us, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit's presence. May everyone be still. May the children not talk. May the adults not play with their cell phones. And might we all concentrate on the Word of God and the specific reason for this season, which is Jesus Christ. Bless us with thy presence, please. Minimize the interruptions. Maximize the attention. Holy Ghost of God, settle upon us for a few minutes so that we know we've met and we've been touched by heaven this evening. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. We've heard the Christmas story over and over again of Jesus coming and being born in that manger. We know about the wise men. We know about Mary. We know about Joseph. We know about Jesus coming, and he was God to come in the flesh. I have to tell you, I really, really do enjoy the Christmas season. I love to hear someone sing Away in a Manger. It's just such a special and such a sweet song. The song Angels from the Realms of Glory just has a unique lilt about it that makes Christmas special. Hark, the herald angels sing, and I heard the bells on Christmas Day. I just love those songs. I think they're just fantastic songs. It came upon a midnight clear, and joy to the world. I like Christmas dinner. At our place, there's some special things. My wife and I both grew up, and we have a bit of a German heritage. And, when we grew up, our moms, they always made at Christmas certain things that were maybe a little more unique to the German people. And our moms would make red cabbage. Now, some of you say, that doesn't sound good at all. Well, everybody has a right to be wrong if they want to, but it just wouldn't be Christmas at our place if we didn't have our red cabbage. And then, when it comes to candy, there's all sorts of candy out there, but the German people have a candy called Matschepan. And it's a certain candy that's coated with chocolate, and it is just fantastic. And it reminds me of Christmas. I think about the first Noel and Silent Night, Holy Night. Mrs. Owens would tell you this. She said, it's just not Christmas until we've seen the Charlie Brown Christmas special. There's something about Charlie Brown's Christmas tree that makes me appreciate my Christmas tree. And it's just a part of it. Now, she would tell you it's got to be Charlie Brown Christmas. Now, for me, it's the Wonderful Life. I wonder how many times I've seen that. I still cry. I still cry. And I'm thinking, whatever you do, don't go there. I get involved in it. But it's a part of Christmas. I was in West Virginia for years, and we learned not to talk about Rudolph too much there. The deer hunters will take Rudolph out in a second. But I like to hear about Rudolph and Frosty the Snowman. And Christmas has it has something about it that is good for us adults. It reminds us of our childhood. It's good for the children. It's a fun way. If it's done right, it's a fun way to remember Jesus and the things surrounding the birth of the Christ child. I'm going to, for just a few minutes, I'm going to be practical. I'm going to be down to earth, and I promise I'm not going to be long. But I'm going to talk to you about maybe some ways that we ought to consider or some things that we ought to make sure are a part of our Christmas and a true Christmas celebration. The first thing I want to remind us of, folks, don't get sucked into the world's way of doing things. They have taken Christmas and they've tried to make it Xmas. They've tried to cross Christ out of Christmas. Don't forget, this is really all about Jesus Christ. And we ought to keep it that way. When they say, well, you know, it's not socially acceptable to put a manger scene in your front yard, that makes me want to say to every Christian on the face of the earth, go get a manger scene and put it in your front yard. We don't need them to try to steal that away from us. I wouldn't agree with everything about our new president, but I am certainly glad that he's going around saying, we're going to start calling it Christmas again. I'm glad. The liberals have tried to steal the holiday from us, and so it's Christmas. Don't cross him out. And I'll tell you this. Some of you say, that's right, preacher. Well, I'd be careful. Watch the Christmas wrapping that you use. There's no sense in using a Christmas wrapping that calls it Xmas. Watch the decorations you put up around your house. If we say we really believe that, then let's keep Jesus as a part of this. It really is. It's the time when we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, and it ought to be kept that way. So let's not cross Christ out of Christmas. Let's make him the preeminent part of our Christmas. Number two, could I recommend to you that you're cautious with how you handle your money at this time? How you handle your money. And I know you say, oh no, preacher, now you're meddling. Well, I do a lot of counseling in life, and I've done a lot of counseling in life, and my financial counseling always picks up about midway through January. You say, why? Because everybody's credit card bills come in after having spent money around Christmas. Now, I think Christmas has been commercialized an awful lot. I don't have any problem with people giving gifts, especially when they give them to me. And I think we ought to be good. I think we ought to give. We can exchange gifts, and you don't always have to spend a lot of money to give a gift. You don't even have to spend money to give gifts. I think it's still okay for homemade gifts. Children can be taught to make a homemade gift and a homemade card. And let's let that continue to be special. Let that continue to be special. Ladies, I still think it's a good thing if you wanted to make somebody a pie or some homemade bread and you give it to them for Christmas. You don't have to go out and spend a lot of money. But can I recommend that you're cautious with your money? We get emotionally involved in the holiday. And listen, if you have some money and you have extra money, and it's okay. It's okay to spend it. It's okay to give gifts. But I think that sometimes we get so caught up in the commercialization of Christmas that we spend money unwisely around Christmas, and then we pay for it thereafter. So I'm not trying to throw a wet blanket on your Christmas fund, but can I tell you something? You need to make your house payment. And if you have a car payment, you need to make your car payment. And you need to keep your reputation strong by paying your bills on time, and if that means you have to back off on the amount of money you spend for Christmas, that's what you do, because Christians are concerned about their name, which is attached to the name of Jesus Christ. And I can't picture Jesus being pleased that you and I go out and create bills that we can't pay, and we are a bad reflection on Christ and the church for the sake of Christmas. So, hey, buy gifts. I'm good with it. I think it's a great thing, but just be careful. Don't get caught up in the competitiveness of Christmas giving. If you're not careful, you'll find yourself feeling this way. Well, oh no, what they gave us cost this much money, and what we gave them, it only cost this much money, and we're embarrassed. Listen, give what you can. It's not a competition. We kind of need to put the sincerity and the purity back in the whole thing. And so watch your money. Don't, here at Christmas time, misuse your money. Now, there's some of you, you're stingy. You're stingy. You could give a gift. You could do something for someone and you won't. I think you ought to lighten up on your purse strings, you old Scrooge. You shouldn't ought to be that way. But there are others. It's almost as if your goodness and your desire to give goes beyond what is practical, and you spend what you don't have, and then you find yourself in a financial mess later, and I don't think that's wise. Number three, let me tell you, be careful. Be careful at Christmas time and New Year's time both when you attend Christmas parties. I'm for Christmas parties. You know, you talk about a church, we're a party in church. I mean, our ladies had a big Christmas party, and then we had bus routes that have Christmas parties, and our Sunday school classes, there were Christmas parties, and I'm good with all that, and I think it's a wonderful thing. But I'll tell you, I had to be very careful when I was working in the secular arena. There were some things that would happen at a secular Christmas party that I just couldn't be a part of. I mean, when it gets to the point when everybody's popping the top off their Budweiser and it's getting wild, I said, folks, you ought not be putting yourself in bad situations with your testimony. And again, I'm not trying to take all your fun away, but I am telling you, this is all about Jesus. For you and I to get involved in things that would reproach the name of Jesus, all in the name of Jesus, that doesn't mix. I don't think that's honoring to God. So be careful what parties you get involved in and how you get involved in them. So I think when we think about Christmas and the right way to celebrate it, remember, don't cross Christ out. Secondly, guard your money so you do this the right way. Thirdly, don't attend parties and social events that are not decent and glorifying to the Lord. May I say number four? I would recommend, and I can't make you do this, and if you don't, I don't know that you're bad, but I would recommend that probably every family here on Christmas Day, why don't you gather around the Bible and read the Luke chapter 2 Christmas story together. I know you're going to tear into gifts and you're going to have fun and you're going to have cake and you're going to have maybe ham or turkey and watch some football and the relatives are coming over. I mentioned the mother-in-law. You thought that was the ham, but these are two totally different things. But you're going to do a lot of things and that's all okay, but it probably wouldn't hurt that you settled everybody down and you opened up a Bible and you went to Luke chapter 2 and you read the Christmas story together. Mrs. Owens and I have done that every year of our marriage, and on Christmas we will take the time and I will read that passage of Scripture to our family. I just think it's honoring to the Lord. I think it's a good thing. I'm not saying that you don't have to have a preaching time. You don't have to turn it into a devotion. Just read it. And you might be shocked at what visiting family might just set in on it and just tell them, say, this is our tradition, this is our habit, we're going to read the Christmas story. And in some cases, I don't think it'd be wise for you to decide to preach a sermon and give an altar call. Offering, I might do that, but of course I'm a preacher, and so you would expect it. But if you timed it, it may take you 3 to 4 minutes to read the Christmas story. But I think it's a wonderful addition. It will keep Christ in Christmas. And I hope that my children, when they celebrate Christmas away from me with their children, which would be my grandchildren, I hope we started a spiritual tradition and the remembering of the Christmas story. Then, let me say number five. We are not... As an independent fundamental Baptist church, we're not real attached to what you would call traditions or religious traditions. But I don't think it's wrong for a family to develop traditions within a family that are wholesome and good. You take the tradition of reading the Christmas story. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Now, we are not like Catholicism. Catholicism in our church. They have so much of what they do that's not even in the Bible. Their forefathers said, we're going to do this, you know, we're going to call him father. He dresses like a mother. He wears his collar backwards, and none of that's in the Bible, but they just came up with it, and it's all this tradition, if you will. Well, we're not like that in our church, but I don't think all traditions are wrong. I don't think they're all sinful. I think this again is probably a German thing, but we have a little thing that we've done at our house for years. We have an ornament, and that ornament is a pickle, and it's called the Christmas pickle. How many of you have ever heard of a Christmas pickle? Okay, some of you have. Well, what it is, you take the Christmas pickle and you hide it somewhere in the tree. And then the kids get to look for it. Whoever finds the Christmas pickle, they get a prize. We did that with our kids for years. I can remember the last time as grown adults, once they knocked over our tree because my kids have a lot of energy, little, I got to tell you. But it was a tradition. It was something fun that we did with our kids. We for some years, we would let the kids unwrap one gift on Christmas Eve. And that's just something we chose to do. They look forward to that, and we did that. It was just a tradition. Folks, home ought to be a good memory. And I think doing some things like that is sweet. I think husbands and wives and families ought to be together on Christmas. I think that's very appropriate and right. I think there ought to be some things that you look forward to. It ought to be looking forward to maybe reading the Christmas story or maybe something special that mom's going to make to eat. I think it's a precious time. I think it's a sweet time. I think it's a family time. I'm not a cook. I can't make much of anything. But for some reason, years ago, I decided every Christmas morning I get up and I make homemade donuts for my family. It can be a challenge, but I make these donuts for my family, and my kids, my wife, they'd all tell you, if Dad doesn't make the donuts, it is not Christmas. And so, and I make these donuts every Christmas morning. I don't know how I got into it, but I've done it. And Mrs. Owens was reminding me, she said, honey, you need to do the shopping for your donuts. And so I'm going to get my stuff so I can make the Christmas donuts. And I hope when I'm dead and gone that someday my children will maybe be sitting around a fireplace with their children and they'll say, you remember when Grandpa used to do this for us at Christmas time? I want them to remember that. Folks, do you realize how many negative things happen in our families and we all remember them? Wouldn't it be good if we did some things that were positive things? Some things that our families could hold on to, that they would remember, that they would enjoy? Mrs. Owens sang a solo this morning, which I think she did a fabulous job. I looked out at the crowd and I thought, she has them right in the palm of her hand. I thought, oh, if they would listen to me like that when I preach. Good gravy, woman. They're listening. I mean, they were just on the edge of their seat. And I thought, goodness. But, you know, that's been a tradition really for her. She said, I have a hard time talking her into singing solos. She has a great voice. She's very musically inclined, but she'll be embarrassed, but she's very humble about it. But one time a year, we get her up and she'll sing a song, and she does it at Christmas. I look forward to that. It's almost a tradition that it's not a bad tradition. It's a good tradition, but it's something that we can cling to. I like the cantata, Brother Edwards. I kind of like having a cantata every year right before Christmas down at the church. Nowhere in the Bible does it say have a cantata the Sunday night before Christmas, but I think it's a good tradition. I think it's a good thing to do. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. So let's celebrate Christmas in a right way, in a good way. Don't take Jesus out of Christmas. That'd be the wrong way. Watch your money. Don't misspend your money when you're celebrating the one who would guide you to properly spend your money's birthday. Don't attend parties and don't celebrate in a bad way. I think your family could read the Christmas story. It would make it special on Christmas. Form some Christmas traditions, and I wish I had time to go around and find out what some of your traditions are, but some of you have them, and you enjoy them, and I'm glad of it. Hey, do this. Number six, make giving more important than receiving. make giving more important than receiving. Folks, Christmas is not getting. Christmas is giving. The Grinch is known for stealing Christmas. He was greedy. It was, what do I get out of this? I'll never forget, I think I was probably about 8, maybe 9 years of age when the concept of the joy of giving really came over me. I love my mother very, very much. She is one of the sweetest ladies on the face of this earth. She is what you would call, she is the epitome of a people person. She gets around people, and there, she just got away with people, and I respect her, and I love her. I'll never forget, I was about 8 or 9 years of age, and we had in our town a little, they called it Val's Discount Center, V-A-L. And it was just a, wasn't quite a dollar bill store, maybe a little up the scale from that. But I remember it was a few, probably about 2 or 3 weeks before Christmas, and we were walking through the Val Discount Center, and I watched my mother go over and admire a set of towels. And my mother never wanted anything for herself. She's very humble, very common, not looking for fancy things at all. But I watched my mom. And I watched my mom pick up this set of towels, and they were kind of a leopard print. And I watched her pick them up, and I watched her put rub her hand across them. I watched her put it up to her face. I watched her put it down and pick it back up. And for the first time, it occurred to me, my mom wants that. My mom wants that. And I'm telling you, Brother Nofsinger, in my heart, I said, that's my mom, and she wants something. I see it. It wasn't expensive. It wasn't elaborate. And, you know, up until then, Christmas morning was all about me. Well, I went to saving my pennies. And back in dinosaur days, you used to buy pop, cola, or soda, and you got it in a bottle. You got a bottle of pop. Now you go to a museum to see the bottles that they used to be in. But most of us grew up drinking a bottle of pop. And you could get, at one point, you could get 2 cents for trading that bottle in, or 3 cents, and then 5 cents, and then 10 cents. Now they're probably worth $50 each. I don't know. But, I went to my dad. I said, Dad, I need to ride my bike. I said, I've got to get some money. And I said, I'm going to go pop bottle hunting. And people would, they littered back then and would throw their bottles out the windows. And I went riding everywhere and gathering up pop bottles. And I saving my pennies and saving my pennies. And it was like 2 days before Christmas. And it was getting close. I went to the bank. And that's my dad. I went to the bank and I said, Dad, and my dad wouldn't give me the money. But he said, I'm going to give you a chore. And if you do this chore, I'm going to give you the extra money you need. Brother Young, my dad took me out there and I bought my mom them towels. I wrapped them up. I was so excited about Christmas. I wanted to unwrap gifts on Christmas Eve, but this time, what about me? That year, I found out what real joy is. I thought I was thrilled when I'd get a basketball or a football or maybe I'd get a coloring book or I'd get something that I want. But that year, we got up Christmas morning, and usually, we were grabbing all the packages and bringing them our way so we could unwrap. I remember I'd put Mom's gift right where I could get to it. I ran in. She was sitting there and getting ready to drink her cup of coffee, and I took that package. I took it right over and put it on her lap. I said, let's unwrap gifts. She said, well, I'll wait on all of you. I said, oh, no, Mom. I want you to unwrap that. And she unwrapped those towels, and she rubbed them on her face. And she smelled them, and she said, you know what? I was admiring these the other day. Oh, I was so thrilled. To the core of my being, and that Christmas, God taught me, there's a greater thrill in giving than there is in receiving. And to everybody here, whether you're young or you're old, the great thrill in life is not in what we get out of it. It's what we put into it. And if you want to celebrate Christmas the right way, get your thrill out of what you give, out of what you give. Well, I just thought maybe for a moment, we could just be a little practical and down to earth about Christmas tonight. We heard some great music earlier. If you'll use those little thoughts about Christmas, you'll have a better and a more spiritual Christmas. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I welcome you to the Savior. I want to invite you to the greatest gift ever given, and that was Jesus Christ, who was given for you so you could have heaven as your home. Here's the question. If you died tonight, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? Or would you say, I don't know that. I don't know that. Would there be anybody here that would say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not saved. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Pray for me that I'd be saved. Would you raise your hand and I will pray for you? Well, then if you're saved, thank God for it and thank God for this Christmas season tonight. I believe, though practical, I've given you some things and maybe some things to think about. There might be some younger Christian families in here that said, you know what, we'll start reading the Christmas story this year. There ought to be some of you young people. Maybe the next time you're down at Walmart, why don't you watch and see what mom might want? What could you do for dad? Let's not make this all about us. Let's make it all about others. But who here tonight would say, preacher, somewhere in the preaching tonight, the Holy Spirit of God reached into my heart and he tugged on me. And I know that the Spirit of God spoke to me this evening. Would you raise your hand and let God see it? Sure. We're going to take a moment. You may put your hands down. We're going to have an altar call. I'll tell you, God might even be pleased if you would maybe walk an aisle, get on your knees and just say, Lord, help me. Help me to celebrate Christmas right. Parents might need to say, help me to teach my kids right. There's some of you. You have needs. I realize that. Oh, but why don't we look to the needs of others? If you have a need at this altar, it will be open to you tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Do you need a moment at the altar? Do you need to refocus about Christmas? Young people especially, take the time to realize receiving will only make you happy short term. You can't control receiving. You don't know when you're going to get something. You have no control over that. But you know something? Giving, you can control. If you're made happy by someone loving you, that's a good thing. But you can't make somebody love you. But if you're made happy by loving someone else, nobody can stop you from doing that. So therefore, you can always be happy because you give love. Receiving it, you can't control it. You say, I want friends. What you need to do is become a friend. If you're made happy by having someone give friendship to you, they're in control. And you have no way of knowing whether they'll be your friend or not. But if you're made happy by being a friend, you can always do that. Be made happy by giving, not just receiving. We read that story of the account of the birth of Jesus Christ. In it, we heard the words that there was no room for him in the inn. It's almost like they even had the liberals that were celebrating Xmas back then too. No room for Jesus. Keep him in it. Watch your finances. Don't party in a bad way. Read the Christmas story. Get you some spiritual, decent traditions. Make receiving more important. Make giving more important than receiving. And then finally, be faithful. Be faithful to church during this Christmas time. And thank you, Sarah. Everybody remain standing, if you will. I think that when the Lord gave us Christmas, I think he gave it to us to soften our hearts. It is a time of giving. It's a wonderful time of the year. I realize that the commercialization of Christmas has begun to head it down a path that is not spiritual. But be careful that you don't ignore what God's given us. I think some people have made Christmas almost as if it's bad because of the commercialization. And it's not. It's still a decent, godly time of the year. We're supposed to celebrate the birth of Jesus. We're supposed to be excited about it. And so but let's do it in a right way.